Ramayana Act 3, Chapter 10. Ram and Lakshman laid low. Scene 1. Invisible Indrajit. Ravana was becoming increasingly anxious. His fear overpowered the grief of losing his sons and brothers. He sat lost in thought on his golden throne. One after another, his most powerful fighters were being slain. Even when the two human princes had been overcome and thrown down by Indrajit's irresistible weapons, still they somehow recovered. When Ram had killed even the formidable Kumbhakarna, who was there left who could face that prince and live? Surely Ram was Vishnu himself, the Rakshasa's supreme enemy. Ravana's eyes narrowed. He now faced a great peril. He ordered his ministers to check every defensive post around the city. Extra guards should be posted. Day and night, there should be extreme vigilance. Anyone found neglectful of his duty should be immediately executed. The demon hissed with anger. Why, the very thought of surrender did not even cross his mind for a moment. Victory or death were the only choices. Brooding on Atikaya's fall, he went into his chambers and sat on a golden couch, incapable of being consoled. Then Indrajit approached. O Lord of the Rakshasas, why are you held in the grip of sorrow? Do you not see me now by your side? How will those two humans survive when I go out once again for battle? They were lucky to escape the last time, but now their luck has run out. Behold them today, lying prostrate on the ground, torn to pieces by my weapons. Indrajit consoled his father by vowing that he would kill Ram and Lakshman. Ravan felt heartened. He gave his assent, and without delay, Indrajit prepared for battle. The prince donned his impenetrable armor and mounted his great chariot drawn by tigers. Blowing his massive conch, he proceeded along Lanka's main highway. At once, many other fierce Rakshasas began to follow him. Some rode horses, some boars, and some giant donkeys. Others mounted lions, jackals, and even huge scorpions. Other Rakshasas, who had hideous, twisted faces, mounted crows, vultures, and peacocks. Soon, an enormous number of Rakshasas were assembled for battle, headed by Indrajit. Those demon warriors, equipped with every kind of weapon, marched to the sound of kettle drums and conches, making the earth vibrate. Indrajit sat aboard his chariot, which was covered over with a white parasol. He was being fanned by beautiful golden-handled whisks and worshipped by Yatudanas chanting sacred hymns. As he proceeded for battle, he shone like Indra amid the gods. Ravana stood upon a high rampart, watching his son. He felt confident that no one in all the worlds could stand against Indrajit, be they gods, Danavas or Daityas? What then of humans and monkeys? After all, Indrajit had already overpowered the two humans. Surely this time there would be no lucky escapes. Ravana shouted out a blessing to Indrajit as he reached the northern gate. The demon prince turned to his father with palms joined, then raised his hand, and the army rushed out with a mighty roar. As the Rakshasas reached the battlefield, Indrajit halted them and had them surround. He dismounted from his chariot and then lit a fire. He poured oblations of ghee into the fire and made offerings of lances, spears, and swords in place of the traditional reeds and grasses. Then, clasping the neck of a dark-hued goat, the demon slit its throat and placed it upon the fire. As the fire burst into flames, the fire god appeared in person. Shining like refined gold, the fire god personally accepted the offerings. Indrajit then climbed back aboard his chariot. He sat in meditation and invoked the Brahma Astra. While the Rakshasa was charging all his weapons and his chariot with the force of that celestial missile, the heavens seemed to quake in fear. Having finished his incantations, Indrajit now blazed like a smokeless fire. By his own mystic power, he became invisible, along with his weapons, chariots, and everything else. He then gave the order to charge, and the army of Rakshasas went forward, roaring in various dissonant tones. They struck the monkeys from a distance with their ornamented arrows and lances, thrown with tremendous velocity. The Rakshasas then fell upon the monkeys in a fury. Remaining invisible, Indrajit assailed the monkey army with razor-headed arrows, lances, and maces. The monkeys realized the demon was fighting invisibly and surrounded the place from where they saw the weapons flying. They hurled numerous trees and boulders at him, but the demon invisibly cut them to pieces. He tore apart the bodies of the monkeys with his irresistible arrows. With a single arrow, Indrajit pierced as many as 5, 7, or even a dozen monkeys. Even though they were being exterminated by Indrajit, the monkeys, who had dedicated their lives to Ram's cause, stood their ground. They repeatedly surrounded the deadly demon, sending an endless shower of rocks and trees in his direction. Indrajit then moved off invisibly and searched for the chief monkey warriors. One after another, he pierced Nila, Jambavan, Sugriva, Angada, Rishabha, Dvivida, and many other monkey heroes. He rendered all of them virtually unconscious with his terrible shafts. With great joy, the Rakshasa beheld the Vanara army being overwhelmed on all sides by his cruel weapons. He rose into the sky above the monkeys and continued to rain down countless arrows like a dark cloud in the monsoon season. With their bodies ripped apart, the monkeys fell shrieking like mountains thrown down by Indra's thunderbolt. They could not see the demon nor his chariot, but saw only an endless stream of sharp-pointed shafts falling from the heavens. Indrajit sent forth a shower of violent weapons, which gave off sparks and incandescent flames. He covered the monkeys with axes, swords, lances, and pikes. All of those weapons were charged with mystic power. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.